You're listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
See you later.
Okay, bye.
That was quite a sprint, huh?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you think you won on the anti-terrorism bill, you are sadly mistaken. And I mean sadly mistaken. We haven't won anything. As a matter of fact, we're all out of breath around here. Pooh had to run to get the microphone to do her pledge on time. And I've been running around trying to find a loose connection and found it just seconds before we went on the air. And that's luck, believe me. I didn't have any mic. The House of Representatives passed H.R. 2703 on March 14th with the Bob Barr Amendment, which removed some of the most egregious attacks on the Bill of Rights, which were originally included. If you think you won, you didn't. Even as passed, it is a terrible, un-American, dictatorial piece of legislation, police state type of stuff. They can't pass anything that can make the laws any stricter that would give them any edge on finding any terrorist anywhere, in or out of the country. Doesn't make any difference. They have all the laws that they need to be able to enforce the laws that we have, which we have laws against everything that terrorists do, and laws within the restrictions of the Constitution that allow law enforcement people to do what they need to do to catch these people. It now goes to the Senate, where it's going to be merged with the Senate version S-735, passed in 1995. That's S-735, which was passed in 1995. Some or all of the provisions bashing the Bill of Rights could be put back in. But let me tell you something. If you think it was hard to get this thing to get our way on anything in the House, wait till you see how difficult it's going to be with the Senate. The Senate are the big money people. And you need to contact the members of the House Conference Committee immediately. We don't know when the House Senate Conference Committee will meet, but we can be certain that it will not be publicized. You can thank Henry Hyde for introducing, after the passage of H.R. 2703, his motion to insist on the House's amendment to S-735. So ask each of the following House Committee members to also insist on the House version. So call Henry Hyde, William McCollum, Stephen Schiff, Bob Barr, Howard Berman, John Conyers Jr., Charles E. Schumer. Well, on second thought, not much we can do with Schumer. Schumer's insane. He's not an American. In my estimation, he's an out-and-out treasonous, scumbag-sucking socialist puke who is one of the most evil people that I've ever encountered in my life. And Stephen Beyer. That's Henry Hyde, William McCollum, Stephen Schiff, Bob Barr, Howard Berman, John Conyers Jr., Charles E. Schumer, and Stephen Beyer. Schumer is the one who threatened us on the floor of the House that if it wasn't passed, we would be sorry because we didn't know what he knows. Well, I know what he knows. There's going to be more terrorist acts in the United States to get what they want. That's what he knows, and that's what I know. I mean, it won't be any patriots or any militia people who do it, ladies and gentlemen. It will be Schumer's cronies. International socialists working through the Mossad, the CIA, and other organizations to blow up buildings like the Oklahoma Federal Building, to perpetrate massacres like what happened in Waco, Texas, and to murder innocent women holding babies in their arms with a sniper rifle, no less. So you can call them through the Capitol switchboard at 800-962-3524. That's 800-962-3524. are 800-972-3524. That's 800-972-3524 or 800-872-8513. That's 800-872-8513. Or you can write them at Washington, D.C., 20515. Just put their name, Senator of the House, the state that they're from, at Washington, D.C., 20515. And also start pinging on your senators now. Tell them that you want whatever anti-terrorism bill that comes as a combination of the two to the floor of the Senate to be defeated. And no way should it be passed. And you need to do that immediately, folks. If you don't act on this, if this thing gets through, we might as well. Well, just keep getting ready. That's all I can tell you, because it's just going to keep getting worse. Do you really, if you read my book, you know it wasn't a coincidence. But for those of you who didn't read my book, and my book's been in print for, about 5 years now? 5 or 6 years? And I said in there exactly what was going to happen. Do you really believe that it was a coincidence that when they were all together trying to come up with ways to defeat terrorism, that some nut who was being treated by a psychologist was killing children in Scotland? Do you really believe that? And there's a spate of terrorist bombs in Israel and London and other places? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you do believe it, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that that's a coincidence, then you are lost in sheeple land. You have been hoodwinked. The wool is covering your eyes, and you had better pull it off before you go blind. Don't go away. I have a special guest tonight. Her name is Kathleen Marquardt. She was on radio for a while. I've been trying to get her on this broadcast for about a year and a half, and finally just located her today. Actually, she located me today through friends, Gene and Lee, up in Wisconsin, who arranged for her to call me. And after a year and a half, she's here. And you're not going to want to miss one single thing that she has to say. So we'll just set the scene right now. See, most of you aren't doing anything about any of this because you're scared.
Darker before it gets lighter.
Do you suppose we'll meet any wild animals?
We might. Animals that eat straw? Some, but mostly lions and tigers and bears.
Lions?
And tigers and bears. I'd fight you about the head if you were. I'd fight you with one poor tie behind my back. I'd fight you standing on one foot.
Sounds like Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, pulling an axe on me, eh? Sneaking up on me, eh? Why? Here. Go ahead and let us alone. I'm scared, huh? Afraid, huh? How long can you stay fresh in that can?
Come on, get up and fight, you shivering junkyard. Put your hands up, you lopsided bag of hay.
Now, that's getting personal, Lion.
Yes, get up and teach him a lesson.
Well, what's wrong with you teaching them?
Well, I hardly know them.
Well, I'll get you anyway, Pee-wee.
Shame on you.
What did you do that for? I didn't buy them.
No, but you tried to. It's bad enough picking on a straw man, but when you go around picking on poor...
Kathleen, welcome to the Hour of the Time.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm happy that you're here, too, after looking for you for so long. You know, what happened just there is everybody's afraid of something until somebody stands up and shows everybody else that they're not as bad as they pretend to be. And there's a lot of symbolism, and there's a story underlying the story of The Wizard of Oz. And I think you and I know what that is. Why don't you give our listening audience a background on yourself? Who are you? Where'd you come from? What have you been doing? How did you get to where you're at now? We're going to talk about those things tonight.
Well, I'm an ex-recluse. When all of this started for me, I literally was afraid to speak up. I was a very quiet person, and we were living in a suburb of Washington, D.C., and my daughters were both in junior high, and the younger one came home from school one day in tears, vowing to never return. And it took a while to drag it out of her what happened, but they had a person from People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals in her classroom lecturing for several days. And the last day of this lecture series by this animal rights person, the woman said to the classroom, "Well, how many of your fathers hunt?" I mean, this is a suburb of Washington, D.C. Nobody raised their hand. And my daughter raised her hand a little bit and quietly said, "Well, my mother hunts." Yeah. And the woman looked at her and said, "Then your mother is a murderer." And my daughter was shunned. You know, all her friends sort of moved away. You've got Jeffrey Dahmer's daughter in your classroom. You're not going to be exactly friendly with her. It might be inherited. I knew nothing about animal rights at the time, absolutely nothing. And so I started looking into it, and the more I looked into it, the madder I got, and the madder I got, the more I wanted to do something. And so I was looking for an organization out there that was trying to uncover the truth about this stuff. And the medical researchers have an organization, and the cattlemen have an organization, and the rodeo people did. But there was nobody combating on their overall what it really was all about. And stupid me said, "Well, then I'm going to do something." And I'm not a joiner, and I'm not anything like that. But my values were on the line, and they say. Everybody has something that is going to get them to wake up. Well, that's what woke me up, and that's why I'm here.
Well, that seems to me to have been a tremendously terrible and injurious thing to do to your daughter in front of her peers in a school classroom.
Yeah, for two reasons, I think that the person who did this, one, either never thought it was going to happen, when you're trying to pull people in, you don't do things like that. Two, I'm hoping that because they got me pissed off, they regret ever having done this.
Well, I'm sure they do. Folks, the reason that I was looking for Kathleen for a year and a half is somebody, one of you, I don't even remember who, sent me a tape of one of her broadcasts, and I was amazed. She sounded like the feminine Bill Cooper on radio, addressing many of the same issues that I address in the same manner that I address those issues. And I thought, well, here is a a fellow soldier in arms, and I want to get her on my broadcast. Unfortunately, something happened. Where were you broadcasting it?
We were, the network was broadcasting out of Boston.
And what network was that?
The, I blanked it out of my mind with such an interesting, Talk America.
Okay, Talk America, okay.
Okay.
And how long had you been broadcasting, Kathleen? Was that your first station or your
yes.
first broadcast?
It was the first, we were on the air for, I believe, 4 months.
Uh-huh. And you made quite an impact. Not only did I get a copy of that particular tape, but later on I got other copies of tapes. And I began to get letters from people telling me about your broadcast. Why don't you tell us about what you were doing on that broadcast and how you were doing it?
Well, it was, we called it Grassroots Radio, and what I was doing is addressing the issues that are important today, property rights, environmentalism, outcome-based education, Clean Water Act, you name it. What I tried to do was get both sides on as often as possible, not every day because screaming matches get a little tiring. But I wanted people to know the truth. I want the facts. I don't want people's emotions or mysticism fogging the issue. I think we have too much of that today. Basically bringing out the truth, just turning over the rocks and letting the sun shine in and let people find out what is going on.
And they would come on your show thinking that that you were sympathetic. Is that what they thought?
No, people don't.
They understood what you were doing.
People know where I'm coming from. The Greenpeace has a book called The Top Anti-Environmental Organizations, and believe me, I'm in there. They all know me. Earth First knows me.
How did they have the guts to come on your show? Because they're such liars, and anybody can pick apart most of their argument. Not all, because they have some legitimate arguments. But how did they have the guts to come on your show? And see, I try to get these people on my show, and they won't even think about it because they know what I'm going to do. When you confront them with the facts and figures and documentation, they just literally fall to pieces. And I imagine that's probably when the shouting matches started, isn't it?
Oh, very, very much so. What I find amazing is these people have never been confronted before with facts. Usually people get emotional. You don't like my fur coat? Well, blankety blank you. I don't like your this. You know, instead of saying, wait a minute, let's reason this out.
Yeah.
And they're not used to that. And I understand. One thing is, and it's very important for your listening audience to understand, is you've got to get educated. The whole answer is to be educated. The first time I debated an animal rights person was at University of Georgia. And I was scared to death. And I got up there, and I kept waiting for something. I just kept waiting, you know, they're going to wipe me out. They have nothing. Once you stand up and you're on in a forum where you each have equal time and you each get to say things, all they have to go on is emotion.
That's right.
And Americans, everywhere I go, people come up to me and they say, you know, I think like you do. But nobody else ever says it, so I don't open my mouth. And they just need somebody. You know, most people I have found just want a leader. I always thought, well, you know, a lot of people out here could take over in my place or in so-and-so's place. But they won't. They won't. But I know there's a place for everybody, but there's very few people who are willing to stand up and say, hey, look, I am right, and I will stand up for what I believe in, no matter how politically incorrect it is, no matter how much my neighbors say nasty things about me, no matter the death threats I get, I'm right, and I am not going to kowtow to anybody who's going to try to cram this garbage down my throat, because I have children that have to live in this world, and I want my children to live in the world that most of us think it is, which it is not anymore.
Yeah. Well, I thought that way one time, too. People do want leaders, and they want leaders to solve all their problems. They want a knight in shining armor riding on a white horse to come along and sweep them off their feet and save them from the evil world. And there are some of us who are willing to do whatever we can, but we're not knights in shining armor, and we don't ride a white horse, and we can't save the world by ourselves. And one of the focuses of this broadcast has been to try to present people with enough facts and figures and awaken them to the point where they do become angry and enraged and are willing to stand up and become leaders. We need a nation of leaders. We don't need a leader with a nation of followers, because that's what got us here. And you and I and some of the others out there, and there's very few of us, can't save this country or the world or probably even one state for all of these people. But we can furnish an example, and we can furnish education, and that's what you were doing.
Yes, and what we have to do is hit their hot button, and you don't know when you're going to, you don't know what you're going to say that hits it, and no, it's true.
I know one.
You do?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Bullshit.
Okay, no, I mean these people out here that need to wake up, that, what everybody's waiting for is a quick fix, and we didn't get into this mess overnight, and we're not going to get out of it overnight.
No, and we're not going to get out of it easy, even when we do. There's going to be a tremendous period, I believe, of terrible things happening, and depending upon how many people are involved in helping us resolve this situation is going to depend upon how bad or how not bad it gets. And it's important that people understand that. This is not going to be a conflict where you can sit on the fence and hope to escape unscathed. It's just not going to happen that way.
No. Ignorance might be bliss, but we have to get educated. And what talk radio is doing, especially what you are doing, is waking people up. And once they wake up, you can't go back to sleep. You have to do something, and the biggest thing I see is people saying, Bill is out there, Kathleen's out there, we can go back to doing what we were doing. Everything is taken care of. This is a grassroots thing. The only way we're going to deal with it is with people power, and people power means a lot of people. We don't have money. We've got to have people.
That's right, and we do have to have a lot of people. Government can only exist with the consent of the governed, and the government with the consent of the government can only perform the functions that the governed allow them to perform.
And boy, aren't we allowing an awful lot?
We're allowing more than... I'll tell you something, Kathleen, just as little as 15 years ago, if you had told me that I can't say that because I knew. I was attached to the Office of Naval Intelligence, and I found out a lot of this stuff when I was in the Navy, and what was going on behind the scenes, and what the reality of the world was versus the fantasy that was told to the people. And so I cut short my naval career and got out in order to try to do something about it. And it's taken a lot of years just to get to this point. But if I had not known that when I did, as little as 15 years ago, you couldn't have convinced anybody in this country that things would be the way they are today. And the things that have happened would have happened in America.
You're right. I thank you for doing that. But how far do we have, how much of our rights do we have to lose before people are willing to stand up?
Well, I can't speak for other people. You and I drew the line a long time ago, or we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. But all of those people out there haven't figured out when they're going to draw the line. They haven't decided how far they're going to let it go. And it appears to me that they're going to let it go until it's gone so far that they're not going to be able to function or do anything about it by the time it reaches that point, other than pick up a gun. And one of the reasons that I've been doing what I've been doing, and I'm sure that's entered your head too, is to try to wake up enough people so that we never have to reach that point.
And when we do, I mean, the government's got bigger guns and they print the money, how do we think that we can stand up with guns? What we have to fight with is words, with the truth. And it's so critical for people to understand that without the right to private property, we are not free. That's the bottom line. And the private property is your gun. The private property is the pen and ink or the airwaves that you use to get these words out, to get the truth out. If you don't have the right to own a gun, to protect the right to write or speak, then you're not free. And right now, I'll tell you, we have so little right to private property in this country. It is unbelievable to me that there hasn't been a rebellion long before this.
Yes, it is. It's surprised me over and over and over again how much people are willing to take without becoming angry or without doing anything about it.
And you hear it every day. If you listen to television, and I turn it on maybe a couple times a year, but people are saying, you know, they say, aren't you fed up with the taxes? And they say, look, if my paying a little more taxes will help people that are on welfare or will help this, will help that, and you just want to take a hold of these people's shirts and shake them and scream, don't you understand what you're doing? You're not helping anybody. What you're doing is you're helping put the bonds of slavery on yourself.
Yes, and they also don't understand that they're helping to enslave those people who are hooked and dependent on things like welfare even more. Because welfare is a form of euphemistic slavery, just like drug abuse or I should say drug addiction. Or anything else. Once somebody becomes so dependent upon something that's outside their control, they no longer are free, and they no longer have any control whatsoever. And they may think that they're being benefited by what's happening to them, but in the long run, they're not. Look at what has happened to these people who have become, through a couple of generations, addicted to the welfare system, or addicted to drugs, are addicted to other forms of dependency. Look what's happened to them. They have no self-esteem. They have no ownership of anything of their own. They cannot travel freely because then they can't get their welfare check. They have to obey the rules. They are restricted in what they can have. For instance, if they have a car, they have to sell the car before they can get their next welfare check. And if they get X number of dollars for that car, then they have to turn it in to the government in reimbursement for the welfare that they're getting. And in order to get ahead in this world, they literally have to plan and have children that they don't want in order to get more money in their welfare check. Now, I think that is it's sick. It's sorry. It is sad. It is pathetic. It is demeaning. It is dehumanizing. It is everything in the world that I can think of that is against what we should be striving to do.
Yep.
And before the welfare system was created in this country, sure, we had some unemployment. Sure, we had some poor people. But I've got to tell you, it by no means was anything near what we have today that was created simply because people could get something for nothing.
And you notice also, you know it doesn't work. I know it doesn't work. Most people out there know it doesn't work. And what's the answer to it? Put more money into it.
Give them more benefits.
And I'm like, what I don't understand is where is the thinking? If something, you know, the Edsel didn't work, did Ford say, well, let's make it bigger and fancier? They said, no, shelve it. Get rid of it. Let's start all over again. So why isn't our government saying, you know, this whole welfare system that we set up does not work. In fact, it's doing the opposite of what we want. Why don't we just undo it? I mean, I guess government doesn't work that way. But where are the people that are supposed to be saying enough is enough?
Well, I don't know, but we got to take a break. We'll be right back after the short pause.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. turned my head. I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be an Oscar Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Oh, I could tell you why the ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never...
I would dance and be merry, life would be a king of dairy if I only had a brain.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you, as usual, by Swiss America Trading. Our people in Phoenix who care enough to provide the very best, to steal a phrase, they're the ones who have sponsored this broadcast for at least 3 years. I'd have to go check my records to find out when they started. And when they burned WWCR to the ground on the very night, and because of a statement that I made telling the American citizens that if we did not go en masse to Waco, Texas, and stand between the Davidian church and the federal officers, they would murder everyone in that church, Swiss America Trading did not even flinch. They immediately mustered their forces and within 24 hours found me another station, WRNO in Louisiana, to broadcast on until WWCR could rebuild the station. They have weathered the storm with us, ladies and gentlemen. They guarantee what they do. They tape every phone call, every deal. Before they send anything that you've purchased out, they call you again and go over the terms of the agreement again, and that conversation is taped so that everybody understands what's happening. Nobody can lie about anybody else. It's all on tape. They're the only ones, folks, who have a buyback policy. The only ones who have a buyback policy. They're willing to take a risk that if gold and silver goes to nothing, or platinum or anything else you purchase from them, goes to nothing tomorrow, they will buy back whatever you've got at the pre-agreed upon price. Now, you can't fault a deal like that. They're also the only ones in the world that not only back the radio host, but the radio host backs them. You see, folks, if you ever feel you've been cheated or mistreated by Swiss America Trading, you call me. I'll get on the phone to Craig Smith, and I guarantee you it will be fixed. We'll listen to the tapes. We'll find out who was right and who was wrong. And if they were wrong, they will make it good. If they don't, I will. You see, that's the way I make sure that everything is fine and nobody can ever fault what we're doing here. They pay for the airtime. They don't pay me one penny ever, never have, never will. I hope you understand what kind of special relationship that is. They care enough about you to sponsor this broadcast, which is the most politically incorrect broadcast in the world. Rush Limbaugh read the memo on the air where the president said that I am the most dangerous talk show host in America by name. I hope you can appreciate what it takes to sponsor a broadcast that has been so dubbed. If you want to get your hands on some real money is specified in the Constitution. No state shall tender in payment of debt anything other than gold or silver coin. Then is specified in the law. Did you know that a dollar is nothing but a unit of measurement? A dollar is not money any more than a quart is milk. A dollar is a unit of measurement of specific weight and purity of silver coin, ladies and gentlemen. What you carry in your pockets is not money. It's counterfeit. It's not even a note. It's worth only what some fool is willing to give in return for it. think about those things, then call our sponsor, Swiss America Trading, at 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Tell them that William Cooper sent you, and you'll get red carpet treatment. While you're at it, thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You know how we all tend to procrastinate. First, you must prove yourself. There's always something to it, isn't there?
Always.
How long were you broadcasting on that network, Kathleen?
About 4 months.
About 4 months. Right. And you garnered quite an audience, didn't you?
I think so.
And a great measure of fame and
Notoriety,
that was the word I was looking for. Some people would call it infamy.
They do.
And what happened?
Well, you could probably tell me better than I can tell me.
Well, you were doing too good of a job. You were really stirring up the pot. You know, when you cook a pot of beans on a campfire, you're not supposed to stir the pot. Did you know that?
No.
If you do, because the campfire is usually so hot. I mean, you can stir it up to a certain point. But if everybody walks off and comes back to the campsite a couple hours later and you left the beans on the fire so that you could have supper when you returned, you're not supposed to stir the pot because I guarantee you that there's some burned beans down on the bottom.
Right.
And when you stir the pot, they come up and get into the part that everybody's going to eat, and then it's no good. So you stirred the pot, didn't you?
I sure did.
And so they had to put a halt to you in some way, and that's what happened. A fellow by the name of Lieutenant Colonel James Bobo Grits. We call him Bobo Grits here because we know who he is and what he's up to, and we believe that he's a Bobo if he thinks that we're stupid enough not to catch on to him. And we call him Grits because when the good old boys really find out and understand it, I mean, really understand it, they're going to have him for breakfast, and where I come from, that's Grits. So, so he pulls some monkey shines along with his cohorts and got you kicked off the air and took your time slot.
Well, I'll be back on the air one of these days.
Well, I hope you will be. And I'm making an appeal right now for anybody out there who has airtime to sell or who knows of a spot on radio where this wonderful woman could fit in. You know, a sponsor or two, or I don't know, if you could you foot the bill for a while? Kathleen?
No, we can foot it for a while, yes.
Okay, and I'm sure you could find a sponsor if one would materialize. But if anybody out there knows of anybody or any station or any network or any satellite or whatever that has time available, contact me, and I will forward that on to Kathleen, who will check in with me from time to time, I'm sure, won't you?
Well, you better believe I will. And I thank you for putting out this call, because I am really trying to get back on the air.
Well, I want you back on the air, and any American worth his salt and understands what's going on, and especially if they've ever heard you on the air, wants you on the air also. So we'll try to do that.
Terrific.
Why don't you tell us what you're involved in now? What are you specifically doing right now today?
Well, I'm trying to write a second book, and my working title is Property Rights is Human Rights is Property Rights, and dealing with that whole issue. Also, I'm really trying to get people to understand the need to get the United States out of the UN. The UN wants to do a global taxing, a tax on international monetary transfers, to tax on travel between countries, to do a green tax on anything that's environmental. And once the UN gets the ability to tax, then there is no, people aren't elected to the UN. Each country has a representative. And if the UN has the power to tax, then they have absolutely no fear of any country balking at anything. They're in supreme command.
Yeah, no fear of getting not reelected or anything like that.
None. None whatsoever. And you know, besides the fact that the U.S. Foots most of the bill, or the biggest portion, some 30 or 40% of the U.N.'s expenses, even though we get only one vote out of whatever, there's 185 nations or something now in it. The worst thing is the UN is behind a lot of things that we're seeing going on in this country today. The fight against private property rights, everything that attacks everything that we believe in, and this is an organization with no land to call its own for sovereignty, except all of ours, it's scary.
Did you know the Constitution Hall has been turned over to the UN under the Biosphere program?
Yes, the Statue of Liberty, Yellowstone Park.
Yosemite?
Yep.
Did you know that recently a delegation from the United Nations went to Yosemite National Park and declared it to be an endangered biosphere because there is a mine operating totally legally and lawfully outside the park within what they call the buffer zone? Do you ever hear of a buffer zone?
Yes. Yes. Well, the mine isn't operating. This is a proposed mine.
Well, that's right. But get this, Kathleen. Guess what the name of the mine is?
The New World Mine.
The New World Mine. Now, I wonder who proposed, bought the rights and took out the permits and proposed to do this mine.
Interesting, isn't it?
That named it the New World Mine. And just coincidentally, right when an inspection team was coming from the UN in order to declare this whole national park, Yosemite National Park, which belongs to the United States, by the way, little Freudian slip of the tongue there, belongs to the United States, an endangered biosphere reserve.
Well, the whole world to them is an endangered biosphere reserve.
These people are liars and manipulators. I'll guarantee you it was the people who are bringing about the New World Order who engineered the mine and named it the New World Mine.
That very well could be true.
Just like it was them who somehow brainwashed that poor guy in Scotland to kill those children just when they were having the summit meeting on terrorism.
Isn't it interesting that these things happen all the time?
I said it would happen in my book when I wrote it.
And
I wrote the book. The book was, the part that I wrote about that was finished about 2.5 years before the book was ever published. And I was speaking in 1998, and I said that mental patients on the drug Prozac would take weapons and kill children in schoolyards and people in shopping malls and then kill themselves right when important gun legislation was in front of Congress. And then later, it would escalate into terrorist attacks, and there would be terrorist attacks upon the United States, and all this would be done to disarm the American people and bring about the New World Order.
And it's really happening fast now, isn't it?
Yes, and God doesn't talk to me and tell me these things. I did this by studying these people, by studying how they've come to power in other countries throughout history, by studying the way that they act and foment their agenda, and what they do to get what they want, and what they do to people when they come to power. And I'm telling you right now, that's exactly what has happened. I predicted it. It is happening. It's terrible. It is absolutely disgusting that the terrible pain and suffering and the lies and the manipulation that these people will promulgate in order to get their vision of their utopian world.
And they're willing to do anything.
Anything at all.
And you know, you said one thing that nobody gave you a vision. One of the interesting things that I have found when I first started, of course, I started on animal rights and then moved into the environmental movement. Everything leads to one to another. But a lot of the books have been written by these people is because John Robbins wrote A Diet for a New America. His book came to him in a vision. A giant pig and a giant cow talked to him and told them to write this book. And you read all that and you think, how can people read these books when they tell you that a pig told them to write the book?
I have people call me all the time telling me that that they're reading books and newspapers and messages from Commander Hatton from Space Sector 9 who's orbiting the Earth in a spaceship. And now I'm finding out that Louis Farrakhan believes that he's being guided by Elijah Muhammad, who's up there in a spaceship under Hatton's command.
and people read it and believe this crap, and that's what it is. And yet you, who do research and have sound science, you have logic and reason behind you, I don't see your book being promoted all over.
No.
How about The Celestine Prophecy? You read that book?
I've read everything that's come down the... I'm a voracious reader. I read everything I can get my hands on, yes.
Well, The Celestine Prophecy is this piece of fiction that has been on the bestseller list for like 2 years, and it is and it's listed under fiction, and yet people are leading their lives from this. They have workbooks, and it's all about worshiping old-growth trees. Now, this is a fiction book, and people are using it as their Bible. And I call it the Bible for the late 90s. And it really is. It's when you can make a...
I think it's the Bible for Ward 3. Who was that nurse in the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yes.
She's the one who's passing out the books.
Didn't she?
Well, yeah.
Well, then you can understand why men would... anyway. No, it's just... We're living in Orwell's 1984 and in Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland.
You shouldn't be embarrassed by what you said, Kathleen, because it's a perfect example of how people are manipulated. If it feels good, do it. If it looks good, it can't be bad. All of this... this media stuff that is telling us that that money and looks are what means something, and spirituality and principles and ideals and character and ethics and morals out the window with those things.
But do you notice also what they're doing is when they're telling us that, oh, we have to give out condoms in schools because our kids can't say no. They have to give in to their animal instincts. But what we're telling America is that you don't have the the conviction to be a moral being, you don't need to know right from wrong or hold these things in high esteem. You just follow your animal's instincts. They're making us equal to animals. They're trying to tell people you're no better than animals. So go ahead and do it.
Yeah, but that's exactly what they want.
Yes.
You see, they want us to be lowered to the level of animals because then we have no rights.
And we're controlled.
That's right. Have you seen the commercial on television? It's a car commercial. I'm not going to name the car, but it's driving across this desert, and there's this weird music, and then it says, "For years, we've been building cages, and now we're going to let the animal out."
No.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's not about a car. It's a message.
Yes.
And you hit it right on the head. That's exactly what it's about. Reducing the human race to the level of animals so that they have no rights. They have no special place in nature. They are not any different from the animals and therefore don't have to be treated any different from the animals. They can be harvested. They can be bred. They can be selectively killed when there are too many of them, determined by somebody who determines that there are too many humans in this place for the food supply. They can selectively send out some hunters to cull the herd, just like we do with deer and elk and other animals.
Yep.
And that's exactly what it's all about. That is exactly what it's all about, and it was started by Walt Disney.
Didn't he do a good job?
He certainly did. 33rd degree Freemason.
Oh. See, I don't know that.
Oh, yes.
I just know the moral of his story. Bambi, the hunter, is evil.
Well, in all of his stories, It was man that was evil, and it's the animals and the puppets and all of these things that are good. And how do you get to be a real boy?
How?
You see, all of his stories had esoteric teachings from the mystery schools.
Yes.
You follow?
Yes.
The morning star. And you do what she says. And if you do it right, and if you don't have any of these human tendencies, and you're a perfect little puppet, then one day you will become a real boy.
Well, he did a good job.
And Geppetto was his father. Geppetto created him. Geppetto was God.
Yep.
And he spent some time in the belly of a whale, didn't he? If you understand the mystery schools, you can understand everything that's happening, who's bringing it about. You can see messages everywhere that they're talking to each other and teaching the populace. If you go to Las Vegas and visit the Luxor Hotel, Luxor means source of light, and you will see the whole story in there, the whole mystery religion that will be the New World Order religion. If you go to these three entertainment things that they have set up there, you will receive the 3 degrees, which will teach you that there was a God, that there was an ancient civilization that was smarter than man, that man lost God and he's been looking for God, and when he finally found God, he dropped it and broke it, and it didn't matter because man himself is God. And they show you the vision of the future, and that if man, the God, does not take charge of his own future, it's going to be death and destruction and terror and unbelievable happenings. And when you leave there, you are a third degree. You're a master mason without portfolio is what you are.
Wow. And people need to hear this. They need to understand. They need to open their eyes and realize that we're going down the wrong road. And you look at the countries that believe in these kinds of things, in mysticism, and you see where they are. India, the Far East, the Eastern countries that believe in mysticism, they have terribly, terrible environmental degradation. The people are poor. And they're not going anywhere. They have at least as many natural resources as we do to work with, but because of their earth-worshipping religions, they're nowhere.
Yeah, the people are worse than poor. They live in abject poverty and misery because they have this caste system, which they will have in the New World Order. The elite live in these splendid palaces and in rich and wealthy things and have marvelous automobiles. But the others dare not step out of their station. Even if they could come up with some way to earn money and improve themselves, they cannot do it.
No, it's wrong.
It's forbidden.
Exactly. And if we could only just get a third of the population to see this, and to be, not just to see it, they also have to stand up for it. And it's very hard with peer pressure.
Yes.
Even adults seem to be afraid to stand up against peer pressure.
Well, that's because adult society is the same exact society that exists in any high school. If you want to understand adult society, go study high school society, and you'll find that when people move from high school to college out into the corporate world, they take that society with them. It never changes. Nor do the things of value ever change. But anyway, we're out of time. Kathleen, I want to thank you for being our guest tonight. You're going to be back tomorrow night, correct?
Okay. Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate it.
We'll see you back tomorrow night, and okay. we'll talk more about this. And I know my audience is already falling in love with you, and I got to tell you, you're a very special person. And thank you so much for being our guest tonight.
Thank you, and thank them.
And folks, good night, and God bless you all.
You told us. We brought you the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West. We melted her.
Oh, you liquidated her, eh? Very resourceful.
Yes, sir. So we'd like you to keep your promise, if you please, sir.
Not so fast. Not so fast. I'd have to give the matter a little thought. Go away and come back tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said, come back tomorrow. The great Oz has spoken. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great Oz has spoken.
Who are you?
I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
You are? I don't believe you.
No, I'm afraid it's true. There's no other wizard except me.
You're a very bad man.
Oh, no, my dear. I'm a very good man. I'm just a very bad wizard.
Well, what about the heart that you promised Tin Man? Well, and the courage that you promised Cowardly Lion?
Well, I'm Scarecrow. Why, anybody can have a brain. That's a very mediocre commodity. Back where I come from, we have universities, seats of great learning, where men go to become great thinkers. And when they come out, they think deep thoughts, and with no more brains than you have. But they have one thing you haven't got, a diploma. Therefore, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Universitatis Comitiatum e Pluribus Unum, I hereby confer upon you the honorary degree of Ph.D.
Ph.D.?
Doctor of Thinkology.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Well, you can't. As for you, my fine friend, you're a victim of disorganized thinking. You are under the unfortunate illusion that simply because you run away from danger, you have no courage. You're confusing courage with wisdom. That's where I come from. We have men who are called heroes. Once a year, they take their fortitude out of North Falls and parade it down the main street of the city. And they have no more courage than you have. But they have one thing that you haven't got. A medal. Therefore, for meritorious conduct, extraordinary valor, conspicuous bravery against wicked witches, I award you the Triple Cross. You are now a member of the Legion of Courage.
Shucks, folks, I'm speechless.
As for you, my galvanized friend, you want a heart. You don't know how lucky you are not to have one. Hearts will never be practical until they can be made unbreakable.
But I still want one.
Back where I come from, there are men who do nothing all day but good deeds. They are called good deed doers. And their hearts are no bigger than yours. But they have one thing you haven't got. A testimonial. Therefore, in consideration of your kindness, I take pleasure at this time in presenting...